Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Holderness Family Podcast.
We really appreciate it. And yeah. First, before we get started, I met the sweetest woman today at Target, Ruthie. And
oh, yeah.
She was so sweet. And she said she listens to our podcast. So hi, Ruthie.
Ruthie's daughter who...
She was like, I always forward my daughter your videos and she's not as into him. I'm like, yeah, not our target
audience. And she even said, this is not your target audience. That's when you know your target audience. When someone comes up to you
and she's like,
in Target and talks about your target audience.
Anyway, thank you for everybody who listens to our ramblings here. And last week, it was very fun. We got to play our new game, Family Face-Off. It's available for pre-order as you're listening to this, but will be shipped out via Amazon on October 31st. So if you want more information about that, you can go to familyfaceoff.com or search Amazon for Family Face-Off game. At the time we're recording this, it is number one in new releases of games and toys.
No, board game new releases.
Oh, board game. It's such a niche category. Yeah. I love how Amazon is always like, your product is number one in orange kitchen supplies. Like, you would be number one in about anything.
I mean, let's be honest. That's really smart for Amazon. Yes. You want people to be number one. So if you literally give if it was like board games made in North Carolina in Penn's
that
house.
Start with a letter F.
Yeah.
Number one, y'all.
It's smart, right? Because it makes you, like, if you're trying to sell something, it makes you feel good about yourself.
It makes you feel good about yourself. So anyway, we are number one in a very small category. And thankful for it.
Board games new releases is not a small category. Also, fun fact, we don't have a board in our board game.
It's a card game.
We wanted to make it more portable. So it's a card game with, basically an app that keeps score so you can really take it anywhere.
Anyway, well, you'll hear us ramble on about that game for a while. And we hope you love it if you've ordered it. But we always like to set the scene. So we are recording this on the day of my husband's birth. It is his birthday. Happy birthday, baby.
Thanks, baby. It's been a day of rest and reflection.
That's not true.
Nope. We've been working.
Happy birthday. Are you kidding
me? Sing.
I'm never going to
You guys,
sing.
Kim is such a better singer and such a better musician. And just as long as you go with Mr. President, I'm going to be all good. So
it's your birthday. So I wanted to ask you some questions, and I think these would be good conversation starters for, family dinner, things like that. So if you're listening, it's not going to be so completely selfish.
Wait a minute. So let's also, as we're setting the stage, Kim gave me lots of very thoughtful birthday presents, one of which... I live in North Carolina, and I guess just because I wasn't raised in like a super or even moderately affluent family, I've never owned a pair of Air Jordans in my entire life.
Yeah.
And so, she went online and bought me Air Jordans. I'm so excited. I love them.
I know. He grew up, well, and I never had those types of shoes either. And
yeah.
We lived a great life and had wonderful parents, but yeah.
But anyway, that was one of her presents. Another present that she gave me was that I didn't have to do any prep work at all on this podcast. So for my birthday, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Okay. Here's what got me thinking.
Okay.
So there is this sort of trend. I'll call it a light trend on TikTok, where you show yourself like in selfie mode or a picture of yourself, and then there's a statement written over it. So one of the women I follow, and I need to get her name. She does a lot of space science content, and
I love that you're doing those now, honey. That you're getting into space science content.
She's very entertaining. Yeah. Yes. And on the text on the screen says, "We didn't make the New York Times bestseller list." And she looks kind of disappointed. But then it hits the beat and it flashes to a baby picture of her and the person. And then there are statements over that going, "Wait, we wrote a book?" So basically, it's like the problems, we're so wrapped up in our daily life that we forget to zoom out and just let our younger selves be really impressed by the problems we have, right? So I think that even this week, there were so many things that went, that had not out of our control with the technology of Amazon and getting stuff loaded. And it kept many people up at night launching this game because it wasn't ready and Amazon hadn't turned this thing on. And we were so stressed about it that by the time it turned on, and it got launched, we were relieved, but not like, we never zoomed out and said like, oh my God, we made a game, you know? So under that sort of umbrella, I want to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And so on, the umbrella is this TikTok, the inspiration was this TikTok thread where a girl was basically saying, who cares?
You wrote a book.
Like imagine what my like 4-year-old self would have thought about doing this.
Thought.
Or okay. Even your 20-year-old. But yeah, I love that.
Okay, so Penn, when you were a kid, you wanted to be a...
astronaut.
I thought you wanted to be a video game tester.
Well, you opened you found that like book, the fill in the blanks book,
yeah.
Where I said that I wanted to be a professional Pac-Man player.
You wanted to be a professional Pac-Man player.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think 8-year-old Penn would have to say about what you do today?
I mean, I think would be very, very happy and content that that's what happened. That's such a great way to be optimistic about this. And I love that thought because my 4 to 8-year-old self definitely was fascinated by video games, and my addictive ADHD personality, I wanted to do it all the time. I'll say I'm glad that I wasn't a professional video game player because I don't think I would have ever left the room. I think I would have like forsaken of my social skills. Also, I did write quite a few books, terrible books when I was a child, and we found some of them. I had like a dog with chest hair,
Detective Deceptive,
that I wrote one time. And so being able to see that we actually wrote a cogent book would also blow my mind. You're right. I know sometimes we can be overwhelmed and I can wake up in the morning and I'll show up and say, Kim, I'm having a tough time with this. Here's a checklist of 12 things. I don't know how we're going to finish this. But usually at some point during the day, the thought crosses my mind, I can't freaking believe my life. I cannot believe my life. To the point that like I need to spend more time just going woohoo and celebrating like where we've gone. And I know it's not over. I know we can do better at a lot of things, but my family, my wife, my job, it's awesome.
Yeah. And I feel, because for a big chunk of our life, we did not have awesome jobs. And I did definitely, and like right now is such a weird time to be talking to people about jobs because so many are like lucky to have them. And there's a lot of layoffs and stuff like that. So I'm very aware of that. But
we were all there.
But yeah. And so if you're listening to this as you're folding laundry or driving the car, like, what do you think your younger self would have to say about your life right now? I think that...
Or even something specifically that you've done that was brave. Or that was hard.
That was hard and you got through. And I think my younger self would be very proud and very surprised at what I've created.
Well, what did you want to be when you were 4?
I wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
I wrote a lot of books, and I want my parents, again, they were so good to us, and we never felt like we didn't have what we needed, but we weren't one of those families that had like the extras just for the sake of having extras. But they did buy me when I was in high school, like a video camera. And it's funny, like I made videos. Mm-hmm. So like, this is kind of what I wanted to be doing. So I think that it would be a shock to be like, why are you staring at the palm of your hand so much? Like I'm on the phone way more than I think my 8-year-old self would like.
When I was that age, I had a bunch of synthesizers and sequencers, and I had like 15 devices that would let me just go boom, psh, boom, boom. And that's mm-hmm. it like took all of these things. Now I have them all in one computer. So my 8-year-old self would be blown away by the technology. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I spent this morning doing that.
I know, isn't that crazy?
I spent this morning audio engineering a song.
And don't you think it's, I know, because your parents weren't psyched that you wanted to go be a musician. And that's why you went and majored in something else, right?
They told me that music was a nice hobby.
Okay.
And they said it several times. They supported my passion for it. They got me lessons when they could barely afford it. They bought me this really expensive synthesizer when they couldn't afford it. They stretched their budget to support that part. But when I got to college, they were like, okay, now it's time for you to get a real job.
But isn't it amazing that if you have a dream, the passion gives me kind of the heebie-jeebies, but like the word passion, but like if you have a dream or a desire to do something, it will come out. I really do think that even if you had gone to law school, although I can't imagine you as a lawyer or something, if you'd become an engineer or some one of those very more structured,
I would have found a way to sing about it.
You would have found a way. You would be the guy that would have made silly videos or songs in the office. Like you would have found a way to have music in your life. I just think the art comes out if you have that in your heart.
And there's proof of that. I mean, YouTube has allowed people to dabble in that. And you've seen, like, there's a lot of doctor's office out there, a lot of lawyers' offices out there who put videos together. Like, what a great thing to do. I still pinch myself that I do it for a living. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was not what my parents wanted me to do.
Next question. So some things have not gone the way you planned. What would you tell your younger self about the years that your 8-year-old self is about to face?
Yeah, that they're absolutely necessary. That's what I would tell them. Do you remember The Adam Project? It's like my kid's favorite movie.
Oh, I love
think it's,
that movie.
I think it might be your favorite movie, or it's definitely your favorite plane movie.
I love that on the plane. It's a good plane movie.
How many times have you turned that on a plane?
So here's what happened. I only have so much room in my cell phone, and so I brought an iPad with me, and I downloaded it. And so I got onto a couple of planes without the Wi-Fi. I'm so, aren't we the most spoiled people? Where's the Wi-Fi? Where's your free entertainment?
Louis C.K. had a bit on that where like someone was on the plane and the Wi-Fi went down for a second and he was like, that's bull bleep.
Yeah.
And Louis's like, you're mad about something you didn't even know existed 20 seconds ago.
I know. Like, yeah. I know. Yeah. So I had it. So I'm like, well, I got this. I'll watch it again. So yes, I watched it.
Anyway, in The Adam Project, he goes back and visits his, I don't know, 13-year-old self, and he lets his 13-year-old self get his butt kicked, like get beat up in the playground, and the 13-year-old self is furious at his 40 or however old Ryan Reynolds is self, and was like, I can't believe you let me do that. And he said, you have to have that fight.
Yeah, and you have to face. And I think again, we talked to Dr. Hope Seidel, and she's helped me as like, you know, in that parent coach role. That is one of the harder things as a parent.
Exposing them to pain and disappointment.
We're not letting them experience it. Yeah. Like I'm not going to say, I would struggle setting them up to get their butt kicked. But even down to, you know, as our kids are 12 and 15 and they start talking about, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, that sort of thing. It's like you have to kind of go through that. And Lola loves to hear about my bad boyfriends, my string of bad boyfriends. And she's like, why did you stay with them? I'm like, I didn't know. Like, you don't know what you don't know. I'm like, you have to date a guy. No, you don't have to. But it worked for me to be able to know all the red flags so that I could know how to avoid them.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So I would tell my 8-year-old self, isn't it funny the age keeps changing? Let's stick with eight.
Eight.
Eight? I would tell my 8-year-old self, you got to get your butt kicked. Emotionally and physically, you got to get dumped by some girls and you got to get bullied by some boys. I hate bullying, but it builds character and it builds patience. And all of my most creative moments have come from stress and panic and sadness. Mm-hmm. and I know that doesn't seem that way when you listen to the stuff that we do, but it usually during a time of stress, there's this coping mechanism in my brain that turns it into a song.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Yeah. I start writing, and a lot of this, when I get super stressed, it's very calming to me, and yours goes to music.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes to words, but it definitely, that's where writing comes from. You can ask any comic and they'll tell you that a lot of comedy comes from tragedy.
Oh, and I have to say, like, I don't know, I'm fascinated by comedy and the art of it, because I think there's an art and a science to really good comedy, like why people laugh and what the timing of it. And I don't know that I've heard a story of a comedian besides Will Ferrell that was like, no, my life is great. I think he is and Melissa McCarthy is another one that, like, no, my parents are great. Love them. Had a great childhood. And like,
meanwhile, Dax Shepard's one of the funniest people on the planet and he's been through some ish.
Right. Yeah.
Most people are like
right.
that.
Right. And they draw on that.
We're coming right back. Stay there.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Knowing that you have to tell your 8-year-old self, okay, you're going to get your butt kicked and it's for the best. Now you're turning 48. So what would you imagine, like, your 68-year-old self would tell your 48? Like, is that different?
Yeah.
I
can guess that it will be different.
What sort of advice do you guess your 68-year-old self will give your 48-year-old self?
First of all, just hearing 48, it sounds so much older than 47. I don't know why. Why does 48 sound so much older?
It's real close to 50.
I think that's why, right? When you can reach out and touch 50.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, 48 is, 47 is on the 45 side of 50.
Yeah.
48 is on the 50 side of 50.
But, by the way, J-Lo is older than you.
J-Lo.
She's been frozen in time.
She
does. Yeah,
injects and eats.
Well, we
and
don't
does.
Know if she doesn't. We don't know if she injects anything.
The super rich have something. Like, come on, Tom Brady. Come on, come on, come on.
Well,
Tom Brady. Come on.
I mean,
is that how he normally looks?
It is not for me to say.
We'll talk about this. I'm having to get surgery.
And I know
it's not elective surgery, but it's kind of plasticky, and we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm so jealous.
No.
Okay, the 68-year-old self.
My 68-year-old self would tell my 48-year-old self to slow down.
Mm.
To slow down.
Yeah.
I can't be the only person whose 68-year-old self is going to tell them that. But, Kim, you and I feel like right now we are in like an 8-year NFL career.
Yeah. I mean, we feel...
You know what I mean by that,
no,
right?
Every single day we wake up with such gratitude that we can create these things and have a space to talk about these things.
But like, what I mean by NFL is like, there's such a shelf life in our industry that is similar to, it's probably a little longer. It's sad how short the NFL shelf life is these days. But it's higher earning than what you did before. But then, like, people are just going to be like, okay,
I'm good.
There's a lot of better options out here that are younger and aren't talking about
eyelid surgery
being really close to 50. Do you want to talk about the eyelid surgery?
Okay, you guys, I'm so jealous.
We
do our trips to the dermatologist, and Penn, of course, has like this olivey skin that his mother gave him, and so he has no moles. I have to go every 6 months because I'm covered in weird shaped moles. So the dermatologist looks at his eyes and it's like, you know, you can get those fixed. And so Penn, I love your eyes. I do love your eyes. But your eyelids have
like a droopy, saggy, foldy thing going
so
on.
So both of your parents have had this surgery.
Really?
I 100% know your dad has.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure your mom did before.
I think
she did
that with a little side of Botox and eyebrow lift.
I don't think she had an eyebrow lift.
She looked like Dracula's wife at our wedding. I was like, what
just happened?
Yeah, whatever happened.
I don't think it was
there.
An eyebrow lift, but I think she had, what's the name of it?
A blaspo flib blog. Blastio flegma tonomic.
So you have these like very the eyelids are like hooded. Is that a good what's the medical term?
Like a hooded ocula.
I don't know.
You're like worried I'm going to say something else here.
I do. And so the dermatologist is like, yeah, insurance will fix it. So he went and he had a consult, and they're like, yeah, local anesthesia, first of all.
Well, we could get the full Monty anesthesia. I'm not really a big fan of that if I can avoid it. I like to not.
You like to feel the pain?
I don't like to get knocked out. I don't know what's going on.
I get a colonoscopy every year, and it's my favorite part of it is getting put to sleep. Yeah. I love it so much. It's a little local anesthesia, and it's like, yeah, they make it sound like they're doing it in a drive-through, which is, but then in a couple weeks, you're going to have fancy new eyelids.
I just don't want to look different.
It won't be drastic.
I don't want to look different. I just don't want at night to have to like take my fingers and peel my eyes open so I can see the computer or the road when I'm driving. That part's getting old. So that's what it is.
Yeah. So they, Penn covered by insurance. And so I'm going to go in and just like really furrow my brow and in hopes of getting the same surgery.
You have the most like, dear eyes of like anybody. You have very.
I think I need like.
Not what you're pointing to is your eyebrows, which is that's just plastic surgery. Like you're looking for an eyebrow lift, which the guy actually said I qualified for as well.
Really?
I qualify for a full eyebrow lift in one eye, and he's like, "You're gonna look different if you do an eyebrow lift."
Okay.
And I don't want that.
Yeah. No. And I also don't have a problem aging.
But like, I could get a free, not free, insurance covered eyebrow lift in one eye. and then I'd have to pay for the other one. But either way, it's just like
I don't even know what that surgery. What is it? Anyway. If you guys have had this eyelid surgery, message us because I want to know what to expect in terms of like recovery.
They said I'm going to look like I got punched in the face for about a week.
Do you have to like? Will you have like eye patches?
Oh, I hope so.
Like, are you just going to come out and I could just like take you someplace and spin you around and. Good luck finding your way home, Holderness.
I don't think that's how it works. I do think I have to put peas on them. They were like, what? Peas are the best thing.
Peas, like frozen peas.
Yeah, frozen peas.
Not just like fresh from the farm stand.
They want me to pick peas off of a farm and boil them and jam them in my eyes. No, they have frozen peas.
So what do you think your 8-year-old self would feel about having eyelid surgery?
That would scare. Listen, Lola even.
She's not thrilled about it.
The first time you visit mortality or understand the concept of aging and death and like this all being over soon, it is horrifying. It's this like crushing weight upon your soul. At least it was for me. So like, I don't want to tell my 8-year-old self anything about aging because my 8-year-old self has so much more time than I do right now.
It feels like when we were sitting at your dad's funeral, which was beautiful, it feels like, you know, when you're in the line, when you're on a roller coaster and there's like the cart ahead of you, like you're going like up, you're ticking up and you see the cart ahead of you go down the scary thing. And forever, I felt like we were at the bottom of it.
Right.
Like, and now I'm like, oh, wait, we're next over the hill.
You know what I mean? I thought 40 was over the hill. Like, no. Is 50 over the hill?
No, I don't think so. But no, I don't think. I mean, there are people who are 80 and kicking it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel over the hill. But I feel like now we are going up the, you know, when you're leaned back and your back is pressed against the chair of the roller coaster, like we're on the ride right now.
Okay. I'm having a little trouble with this metaphor. So what happens when you get to the top of the hill? Is it the fun stuff or is that death? Like where?
So in my metaphor, you're dying. So
that's why you're okay. Yeah, you and I are different. I see. To me, over the hill
needs like the fun part.
Yeah, which I think starts.
Okay,
when you're,
let's rebrand.
Well, yeah. I think that started when we were 40, and we had pretty good 40s. So, but we've just got to keep rebranding it every decade so that we make the next decade the most fun one.
Yeah, the loop de loop.
40's been fun. It's been a lot of work. It's the hardest I've ever worked in my entire life.
Right. And it's been a lot of stress because of the pandemic. I went to a friend's house last week, and I hadn't been to her house since the pandemic hit. And I was like, I haven't been here in a whole pandemic. Oh, my gosh, you painted everything. It was like a mad, like so much of your life, you know.
Well, I remember last time we were there, she's like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this.
She did all the things.
She did all of it. Oh, better house looks great.
It looks amazing. Okay, next question. Is there something about getting older that you really, really enjoy?
Yes. I am looking forward to and excited about the absence of work that will, for me, be replaced by trying something that I've always wanted to try that takes a ton of time to be good at, like a fun activity. Maybe I become a good golfer. Maybe I get to be a better tennis player. What I really want to do is windsurfing. So we've met some people who are in their 60s who look like they're younger than me, and I think it's because they go windsurfing every day. It's an expensive like early buy-in, but the coast of North Carolina and I think lots of other places, it requires basically a wakeboard and wind. So you are dumping no gasoline into the ocean, and you're being propelled, much like a sailboat, but a lot more fun looking, across the waves.
It looks intimidating and scary, but I totally want it.
But the thing is, you and I are never going to be able to be really, really good at it until we literally have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's, I take something like that and I earmark it and I'm like, maybe I'll try it between now and then, but I'm not going to be able to really get into it until I'm old enough to retire. And so like really it's more retirement than it is that age, but I think it's probably going to happen at around that age.
Okay. So I asked about about the process now. Like, is there a part of your life now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't answer your question.
No, but that's fine. But you answered another question.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
I didn't. Maybe I didn't ask it right.
So would you mind asking me that question again? Because
is there something about getting older that you really enjoy?
Oh, right. Like right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was more, your answer before was a good answer, but yeah. It was like something you were looking forward to.
Do you have something that you enjoy? Like, I'm going through the list and I'm like, no, that was better when I was younger. I mean, other than our relationship, I think that like getting to know your wife beyond like the eggshell walking, like part of it and seeing your kids become independent. But that's really about someone else and not about me. I guess that would be my answer. My knees falling apart and my eyelids turn into old man eyelids and all that crap.
Old man eyelids.
Yeah. Like I don't. For the most part, it's just better being younger, right?
Physically, but, maybe.
Yeah, but also mentally, like I forget stuff and I get tie a little bit or I get sleepy earlier. If I try to go out and like have like more than one beer, I have a hangover that lasts like 3 days. Like a lot of getting older sucks.
So your answer could be no, you don't enjoy. You know what I enjoy?
Yeah, help me out here.
I think. This may just be me. I'm not going to speak for all women, but somewhere along the way, we absorbed this. And certainly my mother never said this stuff to me. She would never, but we do this we comply. We are people pleasers. We don't, this is for me. And I feel like much of my life up until 40, I sort of did what people told me to do and what was expected. And down to, it's so funny, I had this whole conversation. One of the reasons why I love shopping online more than in store is if somebody helps me pick something out, I feel so bad to not buy it. So I will literally buy it even if I don't like it and then go back when I know, like the next day when they're not working, and return it. Like, seriously, it was a problem I had. And so now as I'm older, I do feel the march of time. So I know I don't have enough time to waste anybody's. So if I'm asked to be part of a project, if I'm asked, you know, to work on something, if I'm asked to even volunteer on something that doesn't speak to me, I just feel way more comfortable saying no. And I realize that people, they don't get hung up on it. They don't care. They move on. And I can spend my time with people, organizations, work that is more impactful to me. But I think as maybe as a man, you've never struggled with that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would like to be more like you in this sense. I do say no, and I'm a little more honest in some things, but that's a great answer. Like the liberation of liberty.
Yeah, and it's, I think it comes from realizing I just don't have time to sit around and be and please everybody. I also have become a little more bold when I see somebody is being wronged. We had a very contentious tennis match yesterday that my daughter wasn't even in. Wasn't even against my daughter. And Penn's like, oh my God. I was telling him about it. He's like, oh my gosh, Kim, what did you say? And I walked away because I was about to, some adults were behaving very badly towards a child. And I bit my tongue, but normal Kim, I do now, like because other adults were advocating for her, so she was safe and everything was fine. But I do, younger Kim would never, she would have run away from conflict. Now I will like bow up a little bit and go mama bear if I feel like somebody in a position that isn't in the position to stand up for themselves is. And I, with no cares to be given. Yeah.
But yeah, we were at a basketball game. earlier this year.
I feel like we've talked about it on here maybe, but maybe not.
And a child pushed another child.
Not even our child.
Right.
Not even our child.
Not even our child. And it got quiet because one parent said something and the referee came over and said, I'm just like, I'm doing the best I can. I saw it. We're dealing with it. Let us do our job.
And then because this is like the third time the kid had pushed somebody.
And it got really quiet. And then Kim just goes, these are our children.
But it was like the third time.
And then it got quiet again. And I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with this version of Kim. I'm totally fine with it. But you immediately, like, you were clearly ready to say it. And then I think within about a minute, you were like,
I need to. It
was real quiet when I said, when I said that. I still think it's a good point. And, you know, we went back over it. And the other part of it is you have to remember that these referees are probably.
Oh, and I wasn't mad at the referee. Yeah. But I just felt like the child should have been removed.
Right. And the ref, like,
yeah,
I will never. I had to referee just a bunch of my friends' kids.
Oh,
they were playing in flag football. And they just kept. They kept yelling at each other. They kept like questioning my calls. I'm 47. I'm not an NFL referee.
And you're
these kids
eight.
Were 11. I had a whistle with me. I blew the whistle and unloaded on all of these kids.
I wasn't there.
It was almost a year ago. It was almost a year ago because it was on Halloween. It was like a Halloween football game. We haven't played since because I just and all the parents were like 50 yards away listening to me just go like, you guys are never going to make a sport if you act like this. Your coaches will kick you off the team within 5 seconds. And so
are you going to volunteer to ref this year?
I think they still do it and they just don't invite us anymore. Like I think I've been taken off the list. But so it was on Halloween and that night all of the kids were like, they made it a point to come up to me and say, oh, hello, Mr. Holderness. I hope you're having a good Halloween. They were being very sweet to me. And I'm like, oh.
They're sweet kids.
Are they afraid of me? Like, I'm not the kind of person. But I guess that's like, I guess I have gotten to that point where I'm not afraid to say things. I do. God, it's so hard to parent other people's kids.
No, and you just shouldn't. In general, shouldn't do it.
So I probably should not have
unloaded
the kids.
Although, if
it was bad behavior.
Yeah, if you saw my kid behaving badly.
No, PC was part of the lecture.
Oh, I'm sure.
He got it just as much as everybody else.
Oh, no. By the way, I've had to talk to him because he's been in basketball games where he'll like, first of all, he's 12. So this is not the NBA. There's zero on the line. And the ref will make a appropriate call because he'll have done something he's not supposed to do. Like, I don't know, what's a basketball call? Like a double dribble? Is that a thing?
Yeah, carrying, traveling,
one of the.
He's mostly complaining for fouls because he believes that breathing on him is a foul.
Well, no, yeah, and he's like, "Come on!" And that I have no tolerance for.
So I guess we both just don't give a bleep as much as we used to.
I don't.
And you find that liberating? I'm still struggling with it. I don't know if I find it liberating. I think it's a part of me that's developed that I hope doesn't make people think I'm an old grumpy old man.
Well, you're a nice man. So, okay, next question. Listeners, I hope you are participating as well. Is there something about, I just asked that. What has become more important to you as you've aged, and what has become less important to you?
Okay. I'm sorry, this is taking me. Do you have an answer for yours while I'm thinking about it?
What has become more important to me personally is experiences. And like those moments, and I wish there was a way to have like an emotional scrapbook, because there are just these really simple moments around the kitchen table where we're, you know, the kids are laughing, the dog has done something funny, and every, like those sort of moments I'm treasuring more. And the things that are less important, I have to say, you know, I work out, I eat right. But I would say in my 20s, I was really borderline obsessed with like what the scale said and what I looked like. And while I was working in TV, so it was very, you know, there's a lot of vanity and ego in that. I just am not as bothered by what the size inside my jeans says. I'm just not as bothered by the number on the scale. There are times I wake up, I'm like, oh, I had three pieces. Like, we've already had one cupcake today for your birthday, and I just got 24 more. So I'm going to probably eat two cupcakes and feel gross tomorrow. There's a difference. But I just, that to me, just like what the scale says, what size I'm wearing, is far less important to me.
I think what's become more important to me is the happiness of people around me. I've always wanted people around me to be happy. But, and I'm not trying to make myself sound awesome. It makes me happier. And I don't know how this happened. It's really a selfish thing. I'm happier when the people around me are happy. Mm-hmm. And I've got a smaller number of people around me than I used to. Really, it's three. Mm-hmm. And like their happiness is so important to me. And it's so funny because we just had a talk with Hope about this, and maybe I'm doing it too much, because you really shouldn't be happy all of the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Less important to me, money is already getting there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just starting to just not, like, I'm starting to see the finish line and thinking, like, we can't take this with us. And probably, like, there's a little, I wanted to say the appearance thing, but I still look at myself in the mirror. I still want to look good relative to my age. So I don't have anything that's less important to me, and I've got to work on that.
I need
to find some things, because everything can't be important to you, then your hair is all going to fall out.
Mm-hmm. No, but work could just mean that you have your priorities straight.
I'm giving myself a C- for that answer. I think yours was better. You won that answer. Good answer.
I also think about these things a lot. I get very reflective.
Yeah, I'm trying to get better at being reflective. Like, that's more important to me. Like,
yeah.
I think you've just, you know why? Because I want you to be happy. So really it comes back to that.
Okay. Next question. I treat my birthday as my own personal New Year's clean slate. That is not something that typically you've engaged in, because you appreciate life as it comes at you. But do you have any goals for the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Yeah, I do. I want to do as much work as I can without losing my mind. I want to find a balance in my life where I can do as much work as I can to get to the point where I can truly slow down. But I want to find balance as I'm getting there. This is a very 30,000 foot view of things, but I would like to learn the best way to get there without killing myself. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in like people around me who I love are literally killing themselves through stress.
Right. Yeah. I would let's reword that.
No, I was not done with my sentence yet. Okay. People that I know and love are injuring their bodies and brains by putting too much stress on the fact that they've got to get their kids through college and they've got to get to a point where they can just stop doing this. Mm-hmm. And I would like to find a good balance for it.
Because I kind of love what we do. And we've joked that we're going to be podcasting in the nursing home and it's not even going to be plugged in. And we're just going to keep talking. And I love writing. I can kind of picture a world in which we're kind of still doing all this because I just feel really lucky to be doing it.
I love it too. Mm-hmm. But it's not just sitting here doing this podcast.
Right. No, I know. I know. There's so much more wrapped. If it was just this, that'd be heaven. I love that.
You do? Okay. I was like, you're getting reflective. I didn't know if you didn't like that or if you liked it.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
And I love you. And I'm so happy you were born.
Well, thank you.
And I hope these questions were a good reflection for everybody listening to the Holderness Family Podcast.
I got to tell you, when I was at my dad's funeral, I had three people come up to me and say, by the way, I don't remember half of the reception afterwards. I was so stressed out. Like I blacked out.
Yeah.
But I do remember three people, two of them at the same time, then a third one totally independent saying, I just want to share this memory that I have because I was a member here at this church where we did the funeral the day you were born. Because I was born on a Sunday. And I guess I was born at like 6:58 or whatever. And their church service used to be at 10 o'clock. And so dad was at the hospital. I was born. Back then, like churches, like there wasn't an associate pastor. It was just him. It was either like they were all going to sit there and sing hymns or it wasn't going to be there. And I guess he rolled in without a script and just let people have it.
In a good way.
Yeah. You know, like in like a joyful way about what had just happened. And he has saved every sermon he's ever written. Mm-hmm. And there's no record of this one because he didn't write it. He just went up and talked. And I heard that story three times and I thought I would just share that because I thought that was just the kind of guy that he was. And I thought about him this morning when I woke up.
What was that like?
Thinking about him?
Yeah.
Okay, look, I miss him.
Yeah.
I love thinking about that guy.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about the guy who had dementia at the end and tons of health problems. I love thinking about the young guy who was younger than I am right now when this happened. Mm-hmm. So that always brings me joy. It doesn't bring me one iota of sadness.
Okay.
I don't like death is a gift in some ways because you get that person back. The person like at his peak. I don't have many memories of him when I was born, but they all had them and it made me think, oh, we probably had a ton in common in that sense.
Yeah. I do miss your dad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely miss him. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. I know
he would be so proud of you. And I did, you know, because my parents called you to wish you a happy birthday. My dad called, by the way. We had to call him back.
Your parents are great about that.
Yes. And like my grandmother always called you and sang happy birthday. And like that, you know, she, and then your dad. I can hear your dad's voice like, Pian.
Yeah, like eight syllables. Pian. Yeah. It's your daddy.
It's your daddy.
Do you need money?
Happy birthday. You got...
What kind of program are you on now?
Can I see it on the television?
No, yeah, Dad, it's the internet.
He's so confused about...
You need money. No, Dad. I don't see you on television. Do you have a job? Yes, Dad. Oh, I don't understand.
There's
no commercials. There will be, Dad.
Yeah.
Just give it a second.
It's okay.
It'll be an ad. And that money goes to me.
Well, pennies of that money, for the record.
But then you multiply it by a large number and it's dollars.
Dollars and tens of twelves of dollars. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support and your love and birthday wishes for Penn. Because, hey, Penn, I did an Instagram post for you.
That would explain my phone melting.
Okay.
Right now. That was very sweet of you. Are you smiling because I haven't looked at it yet?
Well, because you're not on.
I try to go on it once a day. This day is like normal birthdays. Mm-hmm. You get up, you read the paper. You were very sweet.
Read the paper?
You know what I mean.
You read the paper?
If I had a paper, I would read the paper. Mm-hmm. You get up.
I'd subscribe to the online version of our paper.
Right. And you did take both kids to school this morning, which is a huge birthday present. Thank you. But then I got to work at 8:30 and we have not stopped.
But the caption to the birthday post was, to quote the Queen Kelly Clarkson, "My life would suck without you."
Oh. And that's one of my favorite songs.
I know.
It's really underrated, you guys.
My Life Would Suck Without You is like a bop.
I think the problem is whoever produced it was like, let's do Since You've Been Gone, but change it just a little bit. But
just
it's still like, it is up there with most underrated songs.
Yeah. My Life Would Suck Without You.
I feel the same exact way about you. Thank you, baby.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
And happy birthday to you. And thank you guys for listening. I hope these questions are good conversation starters in your house. Let us know if you've had eyelid surgery and what sort of stuff we should have on hand.
But what if they're like, well,
you shouldn't do
and then
it.
They take a picture of their
and
eye
and they can't and even like blink
falling
anymore.
Out of their socket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, if they do it like under local anesthesia, like it can't be that bad.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, but your vasectomy, you just had.
Oh, God. Yeah. And it was a gong show. Weren't you in there for it?
I did. I wanted to see it.
Right. And then you still were interested in that area of my body afterwards?
Oh, my God.
That's the part that's interesting. Just all of the.
Well, you've seen me have a baby.
That's true.
See?
Same thing. Same.
So I kind of felt like if he saw me have a baby, I felt like I should see how no more babies are made.
Yeah.
And so we've seen it all.
Oh, good. We mentioned that again. We can get some comments about it.
About what?
Vasectomies. Yay.
Vasectomies are not 100%.
I agree.
Yeah.
I got no problem with them, obviously.
Yeah, no, but they're not 100% effective.
I know that.
Could you imagine if we got pregnant right now?
No. We're not getting
pregnant. A nightmare. I'm calling it a nightmare that I was pregnant with twins. And then the next day I started my period. So.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But I did. Yeah. Twins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they get carried to term or were you?
Like, I think I was pregnant and then I was like, I feel like we're in this stage of life with our children that they're just, it's great. They're so busy and it's wonderful. And they've made these choices. But in my dream, I was like, we're not doing it again. We're moving to the beach. Our children are not going to play sports. They're not going to join a club. They're just going to, we're going to homeschool them. We're going to live on a beach and collect seashells.
Oh, so we are doing it again. We're just not doing it the way that we used to do it.
Right.
Gotcha.
We're not doing,
Got it.
Right.
Wanted to clarify that. It's so funny. We tried to say goodbye about 4 minutes
ago. Oh my God,
this
is the most southern
goodbye. And we've been rambling like a couple of 48-year-olds.
I'm 46.
I know.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, there's this like period of time when she's 2 years older than me, and then some of the years she's 1 year older than me. Younger.
Younger.
Sorry.
Younger.
This is the worst goodbye we've ever said.
Oh my gosh. I feel
it's
like
taking forever.
It's like trying to leave a cocktail party.
It is.
And then
especially you. Love you.
I am bad because I like the one-on-one conversation more.
And that happens when you're saying goodbye.
And it happens when you're saying goodbye.
Right.
So.
But then why do you tell me, go get in the car, honey?
No, I'll say let's go.
Let's go. And so I'm like.
I didn't say go and wait in the car.
That's true. But when you say let's go, I'm like, hey, see you, Tom. And I'm gone. And then I'm just kind of sitting in the, because I walk out literally as you say to walk out. And then I look and you're inside. And you're still having a conversation.
Because I'm like, oh, I didn't get to talk to you, and now we have to go.
And that's fine. So I think the way that we'll fix this, and I love that we're talking about this now, is you can just say as long of a goodbye as you want to. And then when you're done saying goodbye, just say, we're going, Penn. And then I'll go.
Hmm.
It'll work better.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you. Should we say goodbye?
We can try. I don't know if it's going to work. Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's like that time I was donating blood and I passed out.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.